Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew, and quite a bit of adjustment, as yesterday ended up being Men's Day. Yes, so we had an interesting conversation with the men as we talked about the things that turn guys off instantly. Yes, instantly. We're talking instantly. Instantly. Well, we started off, ladies, when you are inattentive and distracted. Now, we have heard many a day about how Brother Al hates the women on the phone all the time. Yes. You know, if you don't give a man your attention, girl, he's as good as gone. Yes. What would be the point of him hanging around to be ignored? So you better think about that thing. Well, we also talked about the fact that you like the eye candy. Yes, yes, yes. Again, you know, I did ask, you know, can we just kind of go with, you know, if they kind of look but not touch, you know, like, no. No. Ladies, if you're checking out the eye candy, that's not going to go over very well with them. No, that's almost like, you know, being inattentive. Wouldn't you say? You surely wouldn't like him checking out the eye candy. I do know that much. Well, we also talked about if you were close off emotionally, and they both said that, you know, women are emotional creatures. Yeah, they went back to that one. That women are emotional creatures, and you know, if you didn't show them any emotion, that ain't a good thing, not a good look, and they would be turned off immediately. Alright. Oh, what about if you're in poor sport? Yeah, you know, you can't take losing. You know, Brother Al said he's quite competitive. You know, and he ain't about to let you win. No, if you win, you're going to have to earn that back. And I don't know if I'm mad at him for that. You know, I don't want a man to just let me win. You know, I'm not really competitive, really. But I don't know if it's cute, you know, when men say, oh, you know, I just let her win. For what? For what? We're adults here. If you're at the point where you're dating, then if you have to be the one who wins, then you ain't ready. No. Not only are you not ready for dating, you ain't ready for life, because life is about competing. When you go to get that job, ain't nobody going to let you get the job. No, you're going to have to earn your way into that hire. So I don't know if I'm up for that. I let her win things. I don't know about all that. Yeah. Mm-mm. So what else did we talk about yesterday? What else did we talk about? Oh, we talked about, if you just complain about everything. You don't like this, you don't like that, that annoys you. You're constantly criticizing things. You're a pessimist. And they were like, nah. And you know what? I don't blame them. We're not talking about their children. We're talking about their women. A kid complains. Are we there yet? I don't like beans. I don't need peas. Do we have to have that? No. I don't blame them for that. Instant turn off for me, too. So I got to tell you, we really did talk about some things that are instant turn offs to not just men either. To me, too. So I don't blame them. But we have quite a few other items on this list. And maybe we'll have the ladies on with us next week, God spares, to continue this conversation. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see what they have to say about it. Well, after all of that, we could not finish off a Monday morning without the switch tip with Shantice. Don't push God to his limit was the name of the game yesterday. Now, again, somehow she always ends up tying in with the conversation of the day. And, we're talking about pushing the men to the limit. All of these little things. Women, ladies, you want a man, but yet, you don't want to do what it takes, sometimes to keep a man. You know what it is to get a man, but to keep him is a whole different thing. And, I think about God. Most times when we first, find God and decide to accept God as, as the head of our life and all that kind of good stuff, we're on fire. But then after a while, this world seems to become appealing again. And we just start doing all kinds of things. And God will send his warnings. God will send the things that we need to pay attention to. God will send the things that, we need to change. And then we start ignoring God. And then he starts doing that all over again. And we ignore God. Well, God does have a limit. This theory that God will never be annoyed, God will never, come to a limit is not biblical. The Bible does talk about the wrath of God. And we ain't only talking about hell. So in other words, we're not only talking about the second death. We're talking about right now. And you can push God to the point where he decides to let things go, to hold his hands up. When he decides that, I'm just going to turn my face from you. He did it with Israel. With the nation of Israel, when they had to eat the Babylonian life. So, don't push God to his limit. Well, it was a wonderful presentation yesterday, and I advise you to go back and listen and get a little awareness. Yeah, because I like I said yesterday, I literally heard a pastor say, he wasn't a pastor at the time, but he was past that. Say that, God doesn't have a limit. that's what he pretty much said. I'm paraphrasing, you know. But yes, I'm sorry. I hate to break your heart, but he does have a limit. And I, Stephanie, I ain't trying to get there, because I've seen when God was pushed to his limit, or at least a little bit of that, you know, in my own experience. So I know that I know that I know. Yeah, and it wasn't something that I thought. It was something he said. He let me know that I wasn't going to push him around. Ooh, ooh, baby. Yes, it can get there. So I don't think you want to go there. I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go there. Because even, you know, the Bible tells us that he, you know, really doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities. Mm-mm. So if we get smashed and it hurts, oh, that you better believe that when he does smash you, yeah, it can get worse. It can be worse than what you felt. So I don't know if you want to test him. But I'm willing to take that piece of advice from yesterday. Don't put God to his limit. And I advise you to do the same. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we are going to step into our newly implemented segment, My Two Cents. Well, Kingdom Business is on the roster, Episode 6. Let's go. So we're about to get that talk on. I invite you to join us for the conversation, 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. And you can talk to us. Yes, feel free to join the conversation. And I have to tell you, this week's episode is definitely different than episode 5. Yes. There's been some questions answered. There's been some things revealed. Yeah. So, you might want to join that conversation. Well, if you don't, or if you can't, feel free to hit us up, 347-285-7777. And, you know, we'll read what you got to say. Interested in hearing from you. So please, again, join us for My Two Cents, Kingdom Business, Episode 6, Season 1, that is. All right? So, come on. Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Come on. Let's go tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Our practice is located in the heart of downtown Grand Rapids, where we have had a presence here for over 90 years. Our highly skilled and experienced staff will take all the time you need to select the perfect pair of glasses from our unique selection of over 1,000 frames. We have an extensive inventory of all types of contact lenses, including bifocal and designs for astigmatism. Drs. Fonger, Gordon, and myself are all able to utilize the latest technology in order to provide thorough, complete examinations to your entire family, including infants as young as 6 months old. We know everyone has busy schedules, so we offer evening and weekend appointments. We provide free parking in nearby Ellis lots, and there's one located right next door. Explore our website or drop by the office. We would be honored to become your eye care provider.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to A New Time with Pastor Steph. And it is, let's talk about it, Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes, we got My Two Cents coming up, and that's our newly implemented segment. And we are on Kingdom Business Episode 6. Yes. You know, this is our little TV and review moment. And we've been talking about this thing for 5 episodes. Well, if you want to join the conversation regarding episode 6, Love Song, please feel free to do so. 516-387-1358. Yes, again, the number is 516-387-1358. If you want to chat but you can't talk, it's okay. We got a number you can text, 347-285-7777. Again, that number is 347-285-7777. Okay? All right. Wow. Good morning. It's time for My Two Cents Kingdom Business Season 1, Episode 6. Let me get my girl Shantice on with us this morning so we can chop it up about this crazy episode. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Well, what do you think of episode 6?
I have one main question. Does Caesar have two moms?
You know what? What was that? Oh, my
Does
goodness.
Does Caesar have two moms? And is it the type of two moms that I'm thinking? Because that was, I was like, wait, what? Huh?
Oh my goodness gracious!
I need some serious clarity on that.
Well, I have to tell you, I was coming on to get my own clarity. Now here's let me let you go. Let me let you go. Talk about that. Stick a pin in that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Dang.
Yes, okay, because when they first showed the mothers, you know, she's sitting there in the nursing home bragging while he's, you know, entertaining the group. And then when he goes back, she goes to greet him. And then she's like, oh, hey, say hi to your mother. And I'm like, aren't you the mother? And it's a woman who looks maybe a couple of years older than her. And she and then the other one keeps saying, our son. And I'm like, Jesus, now, I know this ain't how I think it is. Because I'm just all kinds of confused right now, unless this is what I'm thinking it is. And if this is what I'm thinking it is, this is beyond disturbing.
You know, first of all, I need you to find a good spot. You're breaking up for some reason. And while you do that, I have to tell you, I went the same trail you went. So I was like, oh, you know, they're introducing Caesar's mom. I said, well, this is interesting. And then when they, like you said, when she went back and she said, well, let me introduce you to your mom. Then I said to myself, okay, are they trying to twist up, like, the people? And then I was like, well, that wouldn't make much sense. Mm-hmm. And then when she kept saying, your mom, I'm like, now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really trying to do what every other show is doing? And they're trying to go back and say that, yes, we know that this is one of the oldest professions in the history of the world. This is one of the oldest issues in the history of the world. But are y'all really introducing that to us, too? Amongst all this other nonsense we've got to deal with in the church, are y'all really, what would be the point? Don't go into their conversation yet. Please don't do that. But what would be the point of because he didn't look all that confused.
No, because do I sound a little clearer?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. No, he didn't look or sound confused because this is how he grew up, apparently. And my main concern is it wasn't even what you just brought up, which is a concern. But this just goes to show how disturbed I was, that I couldn't even get to that. I couldn't get past this doesn't – you don't age out of this. Like, there's no aging out of this. Like, and you know, and it's like, I remember when I first used to ask that question, because I've seriously asked that question out loud. Like, this has not always been an internal question. And it, you know, when you really think about it, and you think about the things that we have no business doing versus the things that, even if it's not for you, but the things that God approves of, and the things that are good and noble and just and so on and so forth, no matter what age you are, it's always appropriate. It just may not be specifically for you to do or a part of your journey, so on and so forth. But when you talk about something like that, or like someone was talking to me yesterday about scamming and all this, and I'm just like, there's no age limit to these things. Like, you don't do this and then maybe you wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm 65. I ain't got no business scamming no more. Or I'm 70. I ain't got no business living this same-sex lifestyle no more. It's like, these things don't... I couldn't get past that to even get to the... Okay, so yeah, this is another show that now I'm watching where this is now thrown in my face. I couldn't get past the age. I couldn't get past that. That's what I was saying. It was like beyond this... That's why I kept saying, Jesus, please tell me this ain't what I think it is, because the age part alone is just disturbing me. Oh my goodness.
Well, okay, so now that that's out, let me show you why I thought that this was something that they were trying to push and show that this was the oldest issue in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When she brought up Danita, and that shows how long this woman had been in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked earlier of, you know, in past a couple of episodes ago, where they flashback to when they were like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that this woman has been in his life. Excuse me, this woman has been in his life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, well, why? Why do we have to go here? I mean, what would be the point? And she kept saying, Danita, when y'all gonna give me some grandbabies? I'm like,
no.
What are we doing?
You asking for that?
I was really.
In the senior home with your partner. It's just like, no one sees the problem with these things. You're in a, so even if you didn't have that situation, you're in a senior home, how would grandkids benefit you right now? Unfortunately, you wouldn't really be able to enjoy them. Outside of being able to see them, because thank God you can still see, outside of you being able to see that he actually had kids, what satisfaction are you getting out of him having children at this point in your life? Because unfortunately, you're at not just the age, but at the point where, you know, you're physically not capable of really enjoying them. Then on top of that, it appears as though you have this partner, and both of y'all is in this home. And I'm just like, I just don't know if I could have been asked that question and probably not get slapped in my face after saying something sarcastic, or they would have, or at least one of them would have taken disrespectful. Because, and I wouldn't have meant no harm, but I would have really been curious. Like, I'm legit curious. Why is this a concern? I'm still trying to figure out why I didn't age out of this. Like, this is still a question for me, and you worried about some grandbabies. And I can't, that line needs to be black, like, that line needs to be put in a vault and never be used again in any show. I don't care whether it's a Christian show or not, or any movie. Yeah. I'm so tired of hearing that question. I don't care, the best actor could ask it. It sounds so fake and staged. I'm so tired of hearing that question. It is so, like...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Please.
And her delivery, I have to say, I was touched by the delivery. The delivery seemed fake. You know, that was one of those moments in the show where the acting just didn't get, you know, just didn't make it, you know. And when y'all gonna give me some, it was so, let's say, staged, if you will.
Yes.
But listen, I'm willing to put this out there. 347-285-7777. Or if you want to talk about it, we can always talk about it. 516-387-1358. You know. Did y'all take it that way? Did y'all take it that way? Because I'm just as troubled. Because here's my thing. To me, it's something caught in my throat. It is. I just couldn't see it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
I personally cannot. My brain ain't. You know, I still have a pea brain in the grand scheme of things. You know, sometimes somebody might say I need to be in a nursing home, but. You know, I'm sorry. It's a little bit much. It's a little much for me. What else got to you last night, Shantees?
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I was really stuck there. But outside of that, I mean, there were a few other things that stood. I think another part that was, like, really, really disturbing to me was Danita now seeking help and digging up this dirt on Rebel because you're so threatened, and this chief or whatever he was, captain, whatever he was, is actually helping you with this even without you telling him your motives and intentions. He knows this is not for anything good. And it would be bad enough if you were a quote-unquote ordinary person, but with him understanding that you're a Christian, it was just disgusting. It was disgusting, and her attitude when she sat with the blogger and about the faith fest, the faith night, and, you know, it's, oh, I don't need this girl, but yet now you throwing in that you did this duet because now you see that you singing with this girl is the only way you can hit that stage. You know, and it's
right.
Just like all of the manipulating, and again, it doesn't speak for, like, you talk about a lot of Top Pastor stuff when you say God is trying to recreate us. You know, so crooked or straight, he allowed you to have your time of success. And now no one has forgotten about you. Your fans, because you're not going to, very few artists can have fans in each generation. Very few. I don't care which part of the entertainment industry you're in. Very few entertainers have fans in each generation. So now that you've aged out, see, you do age out of some stuff. Now that you've aged out, you would be so much more effective now, like we said, where you would be able to mentor these young women, and you would still be reaching people, but just through these young women. Because even if you were to deal with secular artists, let's just say the mentor, because I can see God allowing that too for many different reasons, how do you know that your fan base wouldn't start generating in the younger generation just because they know that you, who have all this notoriety and stuff, and you still have this stamp of the Queen of Gospel, you're now mentoring younger artists who are now popping, and your name is still out there that way. Even if that wasn't your goal to still have your name out there. But fans of artists, when they follow these artists, they follow everything. They follow who their choreographers are. They follow who their vocal coaches are. They follow everything. Follow everything. So you would still be, you know, out there, but because your mind is so set on ain't nobody fitting to replace me and so on and so forth, you're just getting nastier and nastier, and you're helping to pull other people down because now this chief has a target on his back and he doesn't even realize it.
Yeah, excuse me. You brought up two different issues. I was really annoyed as well with this, you know, now I need to dig up dirt on Rebel. How far are you going to go? Now, you've been burnt down the club because you tried to burn, because you claim you threw the match in the box, but it caught on fire. You know, the club caught on fire as a byproduct. You know, what are you willing to do? Yo, it's just not that serious. Now, anybody that knows me knows I hate that term. I can't say it's not that serious. You can't tell people how serious it is. But it ain't that serious. I mean, come on already. Where you're, and, you know, digging up, you know, all this dirt, you know, with the police chief. And how far he going? He in cahoots with the husband. He in cahoots with you. Is everybody in this show corrupted, shot this? I'm like, good Lord.
He in cahoots with the strippers.
Right. It's like, right. Because he being kissed all over in the club. I'm like, yo, it's everybody twisted and convoluted in this show. And again, I go back to, y'all didn't really wrote us up. Just twisted. We are so twisted. But, you know, here you are. You know, you go over to this, again, jumping over to this Faith Night with this guy. And, you know, all of a sudden now, like you said, your duet matters. You know, you weren't willing to, you know, acknowledge the girl before, but, you know, it mattered, and that's why you did the duet in the first place. And then it matters now because, you know, you are, you want to be in this Faith Night. And, you know, again, I agree with you 100% because this has been my thought every time I watch it, every time I hear it. I'm at the point where, when are we going to allow God to be God in our life? You know, you had your reign. You had your time. And like you said, you're still not dead in the water because there are people that are still feeling you. You know, even the very girl who you didn't want to be bothered with, you know, she admired you. You know, she wants to, excuse me, she was all excited about doing your duet. So kind of walk in that, you know, again, mentor or, you know, or whole classes, you know. Who wouldn't want to take classes from the greatest? You know, that's what some of these older artists do. You know, they hold classes, and that's how they make their money, you know, after they've aged out of performing, you know, because of a physical ailment, or, you know, they can't sing as well anymore, or, you know, just you always have your fan base. You will always have your fan base. Even young people like the Temptations. Excuse me. So, like you said, you know, very few artists, you know, or there are artists, I should say, that in agreement with you that do have their fan base in every generation. And these people, you know, they're kind of reaching back for the older music. That's what our commercials are made out of and all kind of things, you know. I heard it through the grapevine, you know, was kicking it. You know, you had young people singing it. But how far are we going to go? You know, and that was just a disturbing part to me. How far are we going to go to try? Okay, so here's my question. Now that you got the fact that she had a juvie record, now what? Are you really caring when the girl just came off the pole? Who's caring about this now?
I was just about to say, but you didn't dig up anything that would have anyone like, oh my, you know, she didn't, like, I don't know what you thought you were going to get, but had I gotten that information, I'd have been disappointed. I'd have been mad.
Right.
I'd have been like, this is it? This is all you could dig up about this girl? Who hasn't had some type of record? You know, even if you never had an official record, who has had a squeaky clean pass? You know, at this point, you know, and here, but this just goes to show how out of touch she is yet again, because the same way she has to be explained about why streaming is popping, and this is one of the reasons why you're not as popping anymore. But nowadays, it seems as if the more scandalous your past and present was and is, the more popping you will become as an entertainer. So it's almost like you did her a favor, especially with her trying to tap into a genre where technically she doesn't quote-unquote belong in because she has a, you know, some type of scandalous past. And then you pulled up a past that technically she didn't have control over.
Right.
You know, she, one of the reasons why she did whatever is because she was put in the system because her mother did something that actually you played a role in. So it's like,
right,
you know, no matter how small or big, you played a role in her mother spiraling out of control. So it's just like you kind of helped her, you know, in a sense. You know, so it's I don't know what exactly, but again, it just goes to show how out of touch she is with what people really look for and what people really just, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, it may be spoken about and probably not even really that crazy. And then tomorrow it's like, okay, whatever, let's talk about her song again. And this is why we wanted her in Faith Night. You know, so it was just really pointless. But we got a comment real quick, Pastor Steph, regarding our question about the two mommies. Listener sent in, I thought that was his grandmother. You know how kids call their grandmother mom.
But why didn't somebody say grandma or big mama or nana? I don't know.
But you know what? Unfortunately, again, because of this climate, I feel like we need to be very careful about how we say and present things because of how it automatically gets taken. You know, now they're busting out with this. So if this was, because I was sitting here last night, I didn't think about the grandmother like the listener did. I thought maybe, you know how, like, because, like, I was in here last week, and one of my friends called me, and their mother was next to them. So I said, hey, Ma, and you heard me. And you was like, yeah. And I said, not you. And my friend started laughing. And they said, I'd be mad if one of my daughters said, hey, Dad. And I said, yeah, what's up? And they said, not you. And I said, listen, my mother know I got, like, 19 different mothers, you know. But I would have to clarify that with people who don't know us because, see, it's real easy for someone to believe I got two mothers in here and one is supposed to be the father. You know, it's just too much. You know, when we're in public and around people we don't know, I don't say things like that because there's too much explaining that has to be done. Let it be known that even though I'm 36, and my mother is in her 50s. No, she does not have a female partner. You know, so it, you know, so I just don't say. Oh, I say, hey, God, mommy. You know, because you just, you know, and it's crazy because it's like for some reason I got in the habit of saying girlfriend, and I never used to say that. You know, oh, my girlfriend, and I had to stop saying that. Well, hold on, because I don't want people thinking I got a girlfriend for real. You know, you just can't dictate where people's minds go now because this stuff is just. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You gotta really, you know, really be careful. So I agree with the listeners, you know, thought. You know, I understand how they thought. Got there. Unfortunately, it's like we gotta clarify these things because we see ain't no Asian out of this. So if that's what it was, then like you said, why did it, oh hey grandma, and you know, especially you know with a lot of people not having their grandmas nowadays, it's like I would love to be able to say. I have my grandma, and she's this age, and I still have her. You know, I don't know.
Right. And he never addressed her. Excuse me. You know, as well as that point could be taken, that it could be, you know, someone who was grandma. He never addressed either one of them as grandma.
Right.
Well, I would have thought that the second lady, the one who asked about the grandbabies. So now that really kind of twists me up. With the grandparent thing, because why is grandma asking for grandbabies? Generally, grandmas don't ask for grandbabies. It's these twisted, stupid mothers. I'm sorry, I'm saying it just like that because I can't stand it. I hate that. Stop asking these kids or your children when they're going to give you grandkids, when they can't even get their own life straight now. And how many times has that happened? And now everybody all twisted. Grandbabies and everybody. Uncles, aunts, and everybody all twisted up because you had to have some grandkids. So stop. Stop doing that. That's dumb. But, you know, he never even referred to her as grandma. That would have helped us with, okay, that's a grandma. But wait, is grandma and daughter in the nursing home?
That's what I'm like. But both of them are in, I love
you. Hold on. There was no disparaging age difference. Now, I know blacks
right.
don't crack, but we all can look at, you know, there were days when people would say, Chelsea, that's your mom or that's your
mm-hmm.
daughter? You know, mm-hmm. you don't look like you got a daughter, you know, that old. A mom that old, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that's cute. Thank you very much. But they could never think that this was grandma and daughter like that. You know, it's just that those two people put together, if it was grandma and daughter, Lord, they just did some bad casting because there's nowhere in the world. See, whoever thought that, listener, you thought that, that's because you had to really work that in your head. It wasn't
right.
because... You know, blah, blah, blah. It was like, okay, let me try to work this out because I really don't want to believe that they're talking about this gay thing at this point in the game. We got 6 episodes in, and now y'all starting to introduce this. Why are we doing this? But let's go back a little bit. Let's go back. So.
Wait, Pep Step, I'm sorry. Real quick before you go back. On that, speaking on that, another listener just said, I think that's 2 mothers, and maybe that's why Danita's father didn't want her marrying Caesar.
Maybe. You know, good thought.
Mm-hmm.
Good thought. But it might be. That might be actual. Okay, good thought. Good thought. Now, going back to this record that this police chief presented, you know, I agree that, you know, I would have been disappointed because not only that, if you pulled out a juvie record on Danita, that's one thing. But
right.
this girl is a kid.
Right.
What is she, 21, 22 years old? If you pulled out a juvie record, what difference would that make to anybody? She's a kid. So although you're absolutely right, she had nothing to do with it. She ended up in the system and blah, 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 how it happened or whatever. But really, are we that disappointed that she has a juvie record?
Right.
She's a kid. So if she did, it's really not going to kill any hopes of like you said, people really, you know, going into any real high hopes and now a letdown because she's got
right.
a juvie record.
Right.
You know, we've got our girl Anika on the line, and I'm sure she's calling in because she got her 2 cents to put in. Good morning, Danita. Good.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, man.
Thank you. For me,
this whole episode was about all these levels of desperation people are going to. Danita trying to find things on people. The chief is trying to keep, you know, her happy. The husband is desperate now to get rid of the mistress. The boyfriend desperately trying to show his authority in the relationship. It's all over the place for me. But the 10 moms, it threw me for a second. I was like, wait a second. Is that... Because I thought they were trying to play on the fact that she was demented because she still thinks he's with Danita.
Right.
But then they kept saying, our son. And I'm like, wait a second. Are they trying to push that this is 2 mothers?
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay. And that's where my brain was like, oh, okay, this is another reason why the father didn't want Danita with him. Oh, because apparently
okay.
how they set up Danita. She's supposed to be this perfect person, and she's a bishop's daughter, and she follows everything he says, and he had plans for her, and that wouldn't have been good to come out to have someone that quote-unquote promoted lesbianism and gayness and stuff like that. The two mothers being in the home made it doubly pressed for him to want money to keep them there. Which is why he's pressing.
I didn't even think about that. That makes sense.
Like you said, it's not like one of them was in there. Both of them look like they in there together, keeping each other company.
Goodness.
So he's doubly pressed to pay for this nursing home, which is why he's even more pressed for Rebel to get this record going and stuff like that. And this is why, this is why it's missed just witnessing to her, because everybody has their own agenda. This is why it's missed that they're not taking the proper steps with her with this music thing, because technically you have a timeline of when this stuff is supposed to come out.
Separate apart
because she's popping or whatever and you want to ride the momentum. No, you gave this girl $25,000 out of your own savings to get her on, thinking you're going to have a huge return for a possibility, but now you're pressed with time. And I don't get why they needed to be a lesbian couple. It could have easily been a father and a mother. It could have easily been a great aunt or a grandmother, something. It didn't. That was like a forced issue to me. And it took me a minute to like really process that.
Makes sense. I think a whole lot of us are scratching our heads.
That's what's happening with a lot of shows these days, where they're trying to force a lesbian or a gay situation in something that didn't need to be, just for the sake of including everybody.
Okay, so what's your thought on this, digging up? You said something about the chief. You said the chief is desperate.
The chief looked like he's desperately trying to appease Danita a lot, because I'm sure he knows that she has a lot of influence as well with her father. So I don't see how easily he was willing to help her dig up this stuff unless there's dirt on him as well to keep her happy. And now we see that he's all caught up in that whole thing with the husband going to these sex clubs.
So now
you put yourself in a bind to feel like you have to go out of your way to help them against what your job is requiring you to do. Because I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out later that the guy that they found, quote-unquote, that killed her was a scapegoat to cover up some stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, that ain't the person that killed. Where did this man come from? All of a sudden, now y'all just happened to find this
y'all,
man.
Y'all just found the body in the woods and said, that's him.
How did you find this body in the woods? Ain't nobody check no DNA to see that they had sex. I'm like, where is the investigation that would have, and then again, how in first 48 and the SUV, law and order, everything takes time except for in Kingdom Business.
Yeah, exactly.
We got at least a good episode.
He made a point to say that. This is for the Kingdom Business. She made a point to say.
Yes, I'm like, oh my God.
There's a separation between a personal favor and what we need to do for the Kingdom. I'm like, what?
I know. It's all twisted. All twisted. So, okay, on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, where do you rate this episode?
I'm going to say 3. It would have been a 2 because of all the shenanigans, but I give it a little bump because of Taj. He seems to be the only one trying to do something nice and trying to hold his own and stood his ground against Z, but the episode is a 3 for me.
All righty. Thank you so much for handing in your 2 cents. All right. Have
You're
a
welcome.
Blessed day. Oh,
you
my
too.
Goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, we got our girl Viv on the phone. She called in at the last minute. What did Anika say that made you want to call in? Good morning, Viv.
Hey, Ma.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. What you got?
What stuck out to me was the opening scene of, I don't know these people's names, I can't remember their names, of the bishop on the floor praying. Because when they ended the last episode, they made it look like he was finna get arrested. And then they opened up this episode with him, you know, praying to God for the first time, surrendering his life. And I was like, oh, now he want to surrender his life now that he's about to get arrested. And then it turned out it wasn't him.
Well, so
that caught my eye. That was a good little plot twist. That was nice.
So far, Viv. So far, it ain't him. Now that they didn't,
right.
Now that they didn't, we got this man from another state and put him in the woods.
Shot him. Uh huh.
But I agree. I thought it was interesting when they opened up as well, and you know, had him prostrate. I was like, really, y'all? Really?
Yeah.
He's laying on the floor. I was like, wow. What else you got?
The mother calling her son, and only because she needed a favor, only because she needed him to act essence to do this performance with her, and then end the call, and after the phone hung up, love you, son. And that was gross. That was disgusting to me. And if I was him, I wouldn't even ask the girl to sing with my mother. That she's just gross as a mother. She's just really gross.
Oh yeah, another desperate move. Another desperate move. You know, another I'll do anything. If it means talking to my son, who I'm so mad at, you know, who I'm still holding, you know, all of this against him. Yeah. That was just a bit much. What else you got, babe? What else you got?
I definitely thought it was interesting to see with Z and Taj. And I found it interesting that he let this man stand up over him, trying to intimidate him, and he ain't stand up. So I looked at my husband, and I was like, what that mean that he didn't even stand up? That mean he wasn't even intimidated, and he was like, yeah. So I thought that was interesting, because ain't nobody going to let somebody stand power over them, talking all that smack, and not stand up and prepare themselves, just in case they decided to swing or something. So that was interesting. I don't know if that was a power move or something.
Nah, because Todd looked like he wanted to take his head off. And it was just like, if I stand up, this ain't going to end well. So I'm going to just continue to sit down and still say what I feel. But I'm going to stay in my place, because now everything that I'm working for is going to get ruined. Because no one is going to care that you came to my spot and got beside yourself. All they're going to focus on is, I swung on you, or we were in here fighting. So, no, because he was tight. Taj was tight. Like,
Yeah, you could tell he wasn't, you know, real receptive of that, but he sat down anyway. And you could tell, that, you know, if you could just tell the look in his face that, yo, are you really standing up? You really stepping up in here? You know, it. But I was a little surprised, too, Viv, that even if I wasn't going to do anything, to sit down, because as a woman, I ain't sitting in my chair, and you walking in on me, because I'm sitting in my office right now, envisioning somebody walking through this door, and I'm like, let me just stand, and it might take me a minute to get up out of my chair. But I ain't sitting in this chair, because it's just something that we got to get this, although I may not say much, we going to get this dynamic shifted a little bit. So I agree with you. That was kind of like, what does that mean? So on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, what you got for this episode?
I'll say a 3 also. I think that they all played their parts pretty well this episode, minus the mom, I keep forgetting their names, minus the mom. She just doesn't play that role well. I think everybody played their role pretty well. I think all the scenes were pretty good. The storyline was pretty good. Despite the fact that, you know, certain things could have played out differently if it was, like, real worldly, but I'll say a 3. And the last one, the last scene with, what's her name, Rebel, and her leaving with Z to go on tour with him rather than staying, especially after what's her name, Danita?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Her mom, especially after she came with this corny excuse, you don't deserve to be a gospel singer. Leave now and don't bother my family anymore. If nothing else should have pushed her to go back and fight for her record deal, that should have. Because this woman was the reason your mom murdered herself for the same reason that she's doing to you. And instead of you fighting, you run. That pissed me off.
Yeah, that was annoying. That was annoying, too. That was annoying. Thank you so much, Finn, for handing in your two cents, and we pray you have a blessed week.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. Oh, we got another caller coming on in here. Good morning, caller. I believe this is Serge. Is it Serge?
Yes, good morning, ladies. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
I'm all right, thank you. Why you got to throw that extra bass up in there, though? We ain't standing
next
to one.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I got to sound sexy a little bit.
Well, what you got for
us?
The
part that got me was when the bishop was talking to the Danny parents, and they had offered him the money They offered him the money like, hey, here's the money, for all the times you've been helping us. And, he declined it. That was a good thing that he declined it. But the only reason why he declined it was because he felt guilty as well. Because when they told him that, oh, we wish that our daughter could have met you, in my head I was like,
yeah.
He met already without you guys knowing.
Yeah.
So he felt real guilty, and he's like, oh, no, I don't want your money. But I guess, like, it was from before when they showed the after image when Danny was like, oh, you're going to get my parents $500,000 because my father went to surgery. He had to use his – he had to appraise the house and give everything that he had and to you guys and stuff like that for all the donation and offerings and stuff like that. So the depot was funny.
Yeah, hello? That was interesting. Yes.
And
the
part where Z tried to push charge. I don't know what Z was thinking, because in the beginning when I saw him face to face when Todd was actually standing up, I'm like, bro, you like 4 feet and Todd is like 6'3", looking at you down, and you still trying to intimidate this guy. So it was like, to me, when Vivian asked, oh, what does that mean? It's like, once Todd already sized him up already. He's like, oh, this is a little dude. I'm just going to sit down and just let this guy act tough. let him go away and stuff like that, because he's not worth my time to even waste my energy on, because Z was mad short. I'm like, it's always the little ones who think they're the big wolf for the dead.
Absolutely.
So I just said it happen, whatever, man. And the funny part was when Z said, oh, I could have any girl that you have. And Todd's like, oh yeah? I would like you to try. Go ahead. And he's like, whatever, man. Because I know, you're not about nothing.
Yeah, he was corny. He was corny. He was corny, Serge. I agree. He was corny. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, what you rate this episode?
I give it 3.5. It was earlier than bad. It was funny. This episode was funny.
Oh, okay.
It was 3.5.
Thank you so much, Serge, for adding your 2 cents. And we pray you have a blessed week.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Shantice, one quick opportunity to talk about anything that our callers talked about as we wind down and get ready to turn the mics over to the pastors for church folk. What you got?
Well, actually, one of the things that also really, really, really stuck out was when, okay, so you had the bishop, they opened the episode with the bishop, you know, repenting and, you know, asking God for forgiveness, so on and so forth. And when Rebel bust in the office, when Rebel and Taj bust in the office to confront him about the footage, the look on his face, like, I almost started to cry because it was like, you could really tell, like, he was so remorseful. Like, I know I may have to eat some of this, but how am I going to eat this? And now it's like, dang, not only is this being brought to me, you know, because it would have been one thing had Rebel bust in there, but now you got Rebel and your son busting in there on you like this. You're not prepared for this. And the look on his face was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, God, what am I going to do? You know, because I had Danita busting in, it was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Even though he's working on trying to have an authentic marriage. But he knows she know he ain't never did right. But to have one of your children, you know, come in, I think for him that was so much worse than had the paparazzi bust in there and said, hey, we saw the footage of you and Danny Williams and so on and so forth. It was just like one of those moments like, Dad, like, you know what it is to have done something really bad, and you finally got to the point where you repent, and now it's just like, even with God having mercy and showing you grace and everything, it's like, dang, now this is being thrown in my face, and oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this and pass it? I think that was like a real, like, this is why we really have to make sure we don't do and stay in the sin that we choose to stay in, because when you finally allow God to sober you up, you still have to confront people. Well, people still have to come to you with certain things, and you're not always willing to deal with it, but you're gonna have to eat it. But that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, it's something that I actually want to talk up in the church folks segment. That I thought was very interesting too, that they opened up with him praying, you know, and asking for, you know, this marriage, and all of these things, and like you said, it's a time when we wake up. You know, for every, you know, Pastor Kale has coined the phrase, you know, my former life. And all of us who have, you know, who's come over to this side, we all have a former life. And there was a time in all of our life where it was straight, yo, I got to get this together. And some, you know, some of us, you know, had it a little easier to recover than others. So that is a very good point. Point well taken. Thank you so much, Shanti. So on a scale from 1 to 5, what do you rate this episode?
3.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your 2 cents. And we pray you have a blessed one.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. All right. Where's my Pastor Charlene at? Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning. How are you today, my dear?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. We've missed you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I miss you guys as well.
All right, you sound like you're doing okay. Let's see if we can spruce this up. what happened in this episode 6 that stuck out to you?
A few things, but everybody was talking about the two moms, wasn't first for me. First for me was that they were friends, you know, best friends, and how we each other called Hama, you know, to each other. That was my first thought until they started holding hands. And then it made me say, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not looking at this the way that this is, you know, because we have all, you know, been friends and raising our children, coming back and forth to each other's house, you know, going away, you know, doing stuff like that with our children, you know, and even to today, you know, a lot of the grown people in the ministry, you know, they call me Ma as well. I didn't think of it that way because one of my baby girls, her mother comes, and I always say, that's my baby mama. That's her birth mother, but she my child. Right. You know, so I, and like Shanti said, now you got to go down the line to explain, but I never even thought of it that way, you know, okay. So now your Shanti's, you made me think, because now they say that she got a husband and she got a woman. So you made me think about that today.
Well, let's see what Pastor KL says about that right here. Let's take a pin right here. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Pastor Charlene. How are you ladies doing?
Well,
good
thank
morning.
You. Well, how are you?
Great.
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good, good. So what do you say about this scene with the two moms, our son?
Well, you know what? I don't know that I'm getting old. Well, yeah, I'm getting old. But I was kind of oblivious to that because I have thousands of children. You know, people come in my store all the time and say, hey, Dad. You know, surely, you know, I'm not with your father. We ain't got two dads, you know, like that. So I just thought that was just something that he might have grown up with. I didn't think they were bumping and grinding. You know, I missed that all totally. I missed that totally. You know, people come up to my wife all the time and say, hey, Mom, you know what I mean, while their mom is there. So, and I know my wife. You know, I just know my wife. So yeah, I missed that totally. I didn't look at it from that aspect. But I might have to go back and look again and see how, you know, were they holding hands tight? You know, was it a loose hand holding? You know, I gotta see what it was. You know what I mean? were they clutching? You know, was it a clutch? You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, I thought about you. You know, we talked about that dynamic in the first segment. You know, Shanti, you know, she has hundreds of Ma's. You know, the other day she made the joke that said the other day she was saying Ma, and that's all I heard. And I was like, yeah. She was like, no, not you. So she always does that. However, what was the clincher was just this our son. And you're like, yo, why? Why are we here? Let me tell you something. You know, when Shantice is calling and Pastor Charlene, you know, you can, or Pastor KL, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, what we have been in the company of, you know, somebody who said, hey, Ma, we don't look at one another and go, you know, our daughter. I don't do that. I ain't never did that.
Who first? Me?
No, go ahead, Pastor Sean. Go ahead, yeah.
Oh, I have the same young lady that I'm talking about. I said, this is our daughter. When we're together and somebody, because a lot of the people think that she is my biological daughter. And I had to tell them she's not my biological daughter. She's her biological daughter. But I don't think of it as that way. I guess because I ain't that way, so I don't think of it that way. And I never thought about how people thought of it that way.
Maybe we got a question.
You know.
Well, listen. Then y'all got to question me too, because I had a guy. Well, I got a goddaughter, and her father came in, and my goddaughter's moving, so he came in and he said, "Listen, we got to try to get a we got to try to make a way to get our daughter stuff to the house." But he said, our daughter. So he recognized me as the godfather. He said, our daughter. Now, listen, and ain't never in my former life. I know y'all like to say my former life. Ain't never in my former life where I was bumping and grinding with no man. So it's our daughter because I'm the godfather, not because we holding hands. I ain't holding hands with no man. I only want to hold your hands when they say
right. Hold
hands.
Right.
When they say hold hands and bow your head, I make sure there's a female next to me.
You stupid. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? You know, we seem to be split here. You two come on and you offer a different dynamic, and that's interesting. I guess we had the worldly folk the first go around, and now we got the church mind the next go around. So that's an interesting take, and I will say that. Pastor K.L., we'll give it to you this time. What was one of the things that stuck out to you in this episode?
The fact that, okay, now you want to break stuff off because now the guilt, you're really feeling convicted. You know, you're really feeling convicted. And not only that, now when they come in with the videotape or whatever they have, the flash drive, you reap what you sow. You know, you may think it's over, but it always comes back to haunt you. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, what was your take on that whole, you know, hey, you know, now the chickens have come home to roost?
The chickens come home to roost. When they came in and they said it to him, because, like, okay, so at the beginning, yes, he's repenting, you know, now he want to take his wife out to eat so they can try to, I guess, so they can try to look for real, try to be a husband and wife. But when the son and them came in, exactly, now you have to stand in his face and tell the truth where that is eating you up inside, and it's not going to stay right there because now it's going to be publicized because now she's so mad that now she's going to make it public. So now get ready for the real wave to come because it's going to go public.
No, absolutely. You know, it's true. You know, if you bring up the dynamic that your son knew, maybe that could have stayed under the rug. But now, you know, remember, she busts in the room. She said, I knew your face looked familiar at the funeral, but she couldn't place it because at that time she was mourning. You know, she was grieving. She was thinking about her girlfriend who had just gotten killed. And you know, now mm-hmm. that I see your face in the video, now I remember, you know, what it is. And I do believe that she's going to out him. But that goes back to Vivian's point that, you know, last night I was thinking, you know, when I watched it, I'm like, well, wait a minute. How you just found out that this man had all this going on with your girlfriend and to the point where you want to confront him, but now you're going away on tour? And that was so twisted to me. It's like she got on my nerves. Because I'm like, what you going to do? Are you going to sing? Are you going to avenge your friend's death? Or are you going to tour with this kid? What are you going to do? So, you know, now you kind of put out there in the storyline that this is going to kind of be delayed. Because if you all that adamant about outing this bishop, you ain't got no time for tour. If you go out on tour, you ain't going to stay there and push this issue. You're not going to, from afar, push this issue of this indiscretion from the bishop. So, you know, I don't know. Again, you know, the storyline is a little all over the place.
But Pastor Steph, she's a runner. So anything that comes to her, she's a runner. She can't handle it. If she doesn't, she feels that she's by herself. So by her be feeling by herself, you know, when times get hard, she don't know what to do. So she's just a runner. I'll come back to it later. That's what she do. At that moment, she got to run from it. So maybe she'll come back. Or maybe she won't go nowhere.
I don't agree. Hmm? I'm a runner. But something sticks. I'm a runner, but something sticks. You might be right. I won't take away from you that you might be right, but I don't agree. I'm a runner, personally. You know, it's funny because in Sabbath, and that's what I talked about on Sabbath. You know, just being a person, I didn't literally run to a destination. I ran into projects. That was my thing. It's like that's how I picked up so many projects because I'm like, I just only feel like dealing with those. I ain't got to deal with this. I just go and do what I do. But you're talking about some passionate stuff here. You're talking about how you so mad
Now, maybe I could kind of go with you on this one if she wasn't so mad when she presented this to Taj, and she wasn't so mad when she stormed up in the bishop's office. Then maybe I could go with you because it's disturbing. But how you so irate and I knew this was you. I knew you looked familiar. And then, okay, I'll go away. Let's go on tour. It just seemed too vast for me. It just seemed way too vast for me. Maybe you're right. I gotta give it to you. Maybe you're right. I personally, I don't feel like that because it's just a little too much for me. It's a little too much. You can't do all of this, even as a runner. I don't know. Pastor KL, you can give your point of view. Are you talking to the mute button, Pastor KL?
I sure was. Yeah, I mean, my thing is that at this point, you're not even focused. You're just mad.
Right.
Because what you're going on tour as a groupie, you're not
right.
Performing. It's not your tour.
Right.
So you serve no purpose. Even it's almost like if you're going on tour for an outlet so that you can sing and do all this other stuff. But it ain't
right.
Your tour.
Right.
You know,
right.
He already left you to go on tour. And now you want to go on tour with him to get away from it all. You know, but when you come back, you still going to be facing the same stuff. So how mad are you for real?
Right.
You know,
right.
I guess that's the question. How mad are you? Are you mad enough to stay and face this thing and try to out whoever you think, you know, saying had your friend killed? Or are you just going to run away from it and now that you know in your head, that's enough for you?
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that's why I brought up myself. Because when I quote-unquote ran, it was to do something. It was to occupy my mind. It was to make myself busy. You're not going on tour where, like Pascal said, where you're going to do something. You're going to sing. So I'm going to sit by and just watch you. That's why I said it made no sense to
right.
me in the storyline. It's too vast. It's too far extreme for me on either side. And that's why I said you might be right, but in the storyline for me, it's just too twisted. It's, again, it's where there's no cement anywhere in even this part of it where you're just simply all over the place where, you know, even as a runner, you run to do something. You ain't nowhere in the world I'm gonna be so mad and I'm so passionate about you killing my friend or finding my friend's killer or even because she doesn't seem to believe that the guy, you know, we made the joke about the friend being the guy being found in the middle of the thing and now all of a sudden it's him. You know, this is the one who killed him. She killed your girlfriend. She didn't seem to buy that story. And now, you know, you have this more concrete evidence. Where you going? Where you going? Not only that, this woman didn't just stood at the door and handed you an envelope. Where you going? To do what? I don't know. It didn't have no, it was nothing for me. It was nothing for me, and I was annoyed at the storyline. That's my personal opinion. I was just annoyed. All right, Pastor Charlene, what next? What's the next thing you want to stick a pin in?
When Yolanda and Tamar, when Tamar came in, first she was timid. I don't know their names, so you say their names. First, she all this whole time, she's very timid. Now all of a sudden, she want to bust through the door, and now she bold. I'm sleeping with your husband.
Oh.
And I love him, and he love me. So Yolanda looked at her, bust out laughing. Girl. Get out my office and close my door. Matter of fact, bye. And don't even come back.
Talk about a
when did you brave? She all of a sudden got brave, so you know she was faking it the whole time.
Mm.
That was my thought of her, of doing that.
Yeah.
Like, what was she supposed to say? When you go in to tell a wife, because she picked the right one, at the right moment. How do you go in and tell the wife I'm sleeping with your husband and you work for me and thinking that you're going to continue to work for me? Because evidently
right.
she must have thought that.
Right, 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 right.
Because remember, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was like, I was agreeing with you. You didn't have a plan B.
Right, because remember when she went to Bishop, he said, "I got another job for you."
Right,
and
right.
She said, "I don't want it."
Right, right.
You should have took that job. At least you had a job.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Pastor Charlotte. Pastor KL, what you got?
Well, I mean, I'm going the other way. I think she knew she couldn't stay there anymore. And that's why she went and approached the leader. She had already knew that it was over because the bishop had said it was over. So she had already known that, but out of hurt from him, she wanted to hurt her, thinking that she might leave him and he'll just come crawling back to her because there'll be nobody else to love him but her, you know. But now look at it from the other point. You know, y'all talked about how Taj never stood up when Dee was there because Taj was saying, really, listen, you don't want this smoke. I'm going to let you say what you got to say and you move on. But that's what happened with Danita. Danita sat down. She ain't get up either. She ain't even get riled up. She just looked at her. She smiled. And she said, okay, your service is no longer needed here. She didn't get mad. She didn't cuss. She didn't lose her mind. She said, okay, thank you for that information. It was very informative. And she almost said it as if she was not surprised. She knew anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like I knew something was happening. I just didn't know who it was happening with. But now that you told me, thank you, and your service is no longer needed here. But she never got up and got riled up either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, whether you take it from the side where she didn't know she would have a job, she thought, you know, I don't think she knew she would be able to stay. But my first mind went to Pastor Charlotte as well, you know, where Pastor Charlotte's mind went. You should have took that job when the bishop offered, because if this was your plan, you know you can't go get this job now. So now you're going to be jobless. So I don't believe she thought she could stay, personally, because ain't no way in the world you that twisted that you think you're going to go still sit up in a woman's office. But I don't think Danita wasn't surprised. You know that was, you know, it wasn't news to her. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think she really didn't suspect, because in another episode, she kind of said something a little twisted, like it could have been the secretary. So I don't think she was all that surprised that it was even the secretary either, you know, where she, you know, or that she didn't suspect the secretary, I want to say. But I just thought it was a bad plan. You know, whether you thought he was coming back to you or not, you know, it was a bad plan, because if this man, come on, ladies, let's talk about this thing. If the man came to you and said, hey, I'm breaking this off. I'm trying to make this right, blah, 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 blah. You really, he's coming back to you, Pastor KL. I guess you could actually maybe throw in your 2 cents in regards to that. But he's really going to go back to her, and she's going to be the one who broke up the relationship, and he was trying to mend the relationship. Would he end up with her?
If it broke up, yes, he would.
Wow.
He would.
Wow.
Because listen, because at that point, I have to step out all the way new, because if my wife is totally done, then I got to start all over. And even with Sasha, you know what I mean? I don't know what I'm going to get, but I know what I got.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So she's already been second in line. She's already been second in line. And now that the line I want to be on is totally destroyed, then you the next runner-up. The next runner-up always get the crown.
Wow. Okay.
If something happens to the queen, the next runner-up takes over.
Wow. I don't know, Pastor Charlotte, what's your thought?
I agree, but the bad part was she thinks that she's going to be the only one, and she won't, because the same way that you got him is the same way that he's going to run out and be with somebody else. Because remember, the son said that he had been sleeping. They knew of that,
right.
They have been. He's been with other people. So it's not like she was just sleeping with her, because he had the secretary. He had the girl that died. He got somebody else going to come. Oh, there's going to be a few more. And the wife knew that, because that was the relationship that they all knew about.
Right.
All
right.
Of them are sleeping with every. She got her own thing too. So when you ready to talk about that one, because I believe that her and the cops got a little something too, because Harvey was looking at her when they were sitting there. So when you ready for that one, you know, come back. Yeah.
You have the right to remain silent.
Okay.
Wait, what happened? What did you say, Pastor KL?
I said you have the right to remain silent.
Okay, because see, I couldn't understand the dynamic as to why he's just on everybody's side. I'm lost there. You know, when the husband needed you. You know, the only thing I could think of now that I talk about it is you're paid off. You're just simply paid off. That's why everything comes so easily, you know, easy when they ask. But, you know, you're bringing in a different dynamic. And, you know, we know you're the conspiracy theorist. So, you know, maybe you got something, you know, maybe you got something there. But because I couldn't think of. And when Anika brought it up, you know, up until this point, I'm like, well, maybe he just paid off. Maybe that's just somebody who they got in his pocket. But if y'all church people, why y'all need him in your pocket? That means that other stuff has been going on prior to what we know about. Why would you need somebody in your pocket? I don't know, Pastor Charlene. Well, I don't know. Is that the only thing? Is because they could be having something going on, or what could be the other dynamic that they got to, that this man is just so easily caring to them?
Okay, let's go back to, I don't know what season it was, episode it was. Remember when Bishop was talking to him and he's brought up the father. The father is over everybody.
Right,
and remember
right.
when he was telling him to get the, and he told him to get the information, you know, about who's supposed to be the killer, you know, so not only in payment of money-wise, but also everybody got something over everybody. And now going back to Yolanda, the way that he was looking at her, and what do you want me to do for you? Mm-hmm. So did y'all have something before? I know that you like her. You trying to get her. Something she did, you know, that got his attention. So it's easy for this family because he has to please everybody. So it's not always, you know, money. Some people get paid in so many different ways. So something. It's something. Y'all check Steph if y'all think so too. Something.
Oh my goodness gracious. Pastor KL, you know, what's your thought? Why is he so easily you know, swayed with these people?
First of all, let me pray for Pastor Charlene. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Amen.
I think that the church has him in their pocket. Meaning, I think he's paid off. I think he's paid off, and he's going to do whatever he can do because he knows that the money is coming. You know, I can't remember what preacher used to say, but he's always saying money cometh. So I think he knows that money cometh. So if he do all these good deeds, I think that's his second check. You know, everybody has like the side hustle. That's his side hustle. He's taking care of his church. You know, even the drug dealers. The drug dealers have the police in their pocket. I think the church got him in their pocket.
Okay. Okay. Well, I do say, like I said, it wasn't until I started talking at this moment that even crossed my mind. You know, maybe he just paid off. So I agree. Pastor Charlene, you asked for the response, and yeah, Shantice is one who says that, you know, she agrees that maybe they have something going on, and that's why he's so easily swayed by her. So you're not alone in your thought, she says. You're not alone in her thought. I don't know how many other people. I guess Shantice, you can hit up 347-285-7777 and let us know if you're thinking that, hey, that's something that I thought. Hit us up, and Shantice will let me know. Shantice will let me know. Okay, Pastor KL, what else stuck in your head? Yes, from episode 6.
Let's see. What else could have stuck in my head? I mean, I guess it's, you know, we already spoke about it, but one of the big things is, you know, why did the young lady leave? You know, I would like to know what was in her mind to make her say, well, I'm just going on tour. Because she was so adamant in the beginning episodes that she had to find out what happened, and she wasn't going to let this thing die, and she's going to avenge her singing career and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, now that you know, the singing career is over. I didn't understand that at all.
Oh, Pastor Charlene.
Well, I still say that she got to the place where that nobody is listening to her, and she felt all alone. I'm still going to stay with that. And that's why she just decided, because after Caesar and her had the conversation, you know, that just was like the end of it. But my thing is, even with that piece, remember, Caesar is the one that wanted to remove Z. So who said that there's going to be a job when they finish coming out of that room? They might get a phone call, and he don't have to come back, because he only got rid of him to get her attention. To say.
Okay. You know, I'm interested where this goes now that she's kind of thrown her hands up as well. You know, because with this particular writing, we don't know, like you said, Pastor Joe, what's going to happen when y'all come about that room. You know, she realizes now, and that's one thing that I want to touch on. You know, she realizes that, you know, you done went up in there, and you, again, here's the distracted moment. You got so distracted with what was going on. That's why it also didn't make any sense to me. You so twisted. You leave this money thing. You want to sing, and you're going to make sure that you sing because that's the promise that you made to your girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. So you then got all distracted. You going to sing, but you blew that because by the time you got back to the studio, you know, everybody had been sent home, and now you thought you could pull strings or well, get them back. I mean, how unrealistic are you? So, you know, now that you've goofed up and now you done blew this man $25,000 that he could have paid for his two moms, whether it was godmom or friend mom or whatever two moms, he done blew $25,000 or, you know, where he could have been paying his bill, you know, you really twisted. You're really twisted here. You know, there's and I want to talk about that, you know, really quickly. There's an real unrealistic issue in her head, you know, but you can't be all that twisted. You just gave up the pole. So, although you could go back, you know, your money, and like he said, I want my money back. He could take it, you know, to a different level and get this money back. But you're just in some this unrealistic mode that you just going to be able to walk off into the sunset and tour and go on tour and watch this, and you're not going to have to deal with anything. I don't know, Pastor KL. What do you think?
Well, I think she's a diva. And I think that he has, in some form, created a monster. Because if you listen to most of the episodes, she constantly reminds him, you came after me. You asked me. I wasn't looking for you. Pretty much, I was doing my thing, and I was making money. I didn't need you. You know, you wanted me. So she's at the point where she thinks that she got him by the wrist. You know what I'm saying? Like she's Delilah. You know, come on, tell me where your strength lies. You know, but you need me. You know, and that's the problem. Well, go up. What you mean they went home? Go get them back. I'm here. The queen is here. I'm here. What you mean? I'm ready now. I got something. I had some things going on, but I'm ready now. So everything must stop. And she thinks really in her mind that she's that good. You know, that her talent is that good that everybody's going to stop for her. And now her bubble got busted because she had to come to herself and realize, wow, I really can't do or I can't make all the moves that I thought I can make. I'm really not as powerful as I thought I was, as he made me to believe. And now I have nothing. So I have no other choice but to go on the road and support someone else. And watch this, support someone else who really wasn't even supporting me.
Right, right.
So I'm stuck.
Right, right. Pastor Shola, what's your thought?
Yeah, but also with her, too, she going to was familiar. That's why she went back with him. You're going to be with him because it's familiar. But going back to Caesar, remember, she's been doing things constantly, and he's been letting her come back into saying, okay, we'll do it again, okay. But now he's to the point where that, because he got so much other stuff going on with the moms, you know, of paying this bill, so now he had enough. That's how I took it, and he had enough. You got to get to the place where that enough is enough, and to show that it's me that's the one that booked this this time. It's me that's losing this money. So you're not going to make me go even deeper than where I am right now. So that's how I looked at that piece of, okay, you think it's all about you? Go on out there and do what you do. And like you said, Pastor Steph, she might end up back because she went back to familiar. And when we go back to familiar, then we feel comfortable. But something else is going to happen, and it's going to turn it all back around.
Absolutely.
Watch the next episode. When they come out that room, something's going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to touch on something that we talked about in the earlier segment. We talked about her, Danita, going to the chief. She went to the chief for dirt on Rebel. Is that realistic? She's already come from dirt. She came off the pole. And what do you really think you're going to find with this new, quote-unquote, information? And now the biggest information she's got is that she was in juvie. I mean, really? Are we that desperate as Christian people? Are we that desperate that we go into all kinds of levels to smash somebody? Because whether we get ahead or not is a big deal, you know, to you. Whether we really get ahead or not may not happen, but it's a big enough deal to you that you're going to go through all of this. Is it really that serious, Pastor Charlotte, for us Christian people?
Right, Christian people. Yes, people will do that, but what they forget is the same way that you dig up about somebody else, somebody got something on you. Because like Shantae said, we all got some stuff. We all got some skeletons that we get buried, you know, that people don't know. You know, it's just like when people get saved, they forget, you know, that you was whoever that person that came through the church. You know what I mean? You might was the one that was on that pole, but because time has went by, we see your glory, as they say, but we don't know your story. But there's people that ask questions. When you start tapping into somebody else's door, believe me, somebody else is going to come through the back door and find out what you did. And does Christian folks do it? Yes, they do. And that's where you need to mind your business, because if your dirt come out, then you're going to be mad and everybody going to want to fight. So you need to just leave it alone. Pray for the young lady, leave her alone, and help her see Christ. Have a better relationship. And it just shows that where's the relationship that you're teaching her about knowing Christ for herself.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, what are we talking about here? Are we really this desperate as Christian people that we now going to go dig up dirt on kids?
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, you can see obviously from her lifestyle, she didn't have no 4.0 GPA. You know,
right.
So there was something going on. You know what I'm saying? From her lifestyle, you automatically knew that. You know, so like Pastor Charlotte said, what are we? You already have this taste, this bad taste in your mouth about the church. And here the church keeps digging and digging and digging into me. But yet, the church, you know, one part of the church wants me to sing. So it's like, you know, I wish that you'd be hot or cold. Because lukewarm, I can't do that. So I got you want me to sing gospel. I got you telling me because of what I've gone through, I can't sing gospel. Well, it seems to me that if I've been through something and God is still keeping me alive, you know, and he's still sustaining me from all that stuff that I did, then I need to sing gospel. Because if it wasn't for him being on my side, I wouldn't be here. So if no other reason, just because I'm yet alive while I did all of this stuff in jewelry, while I was on the pole and I made it home, you know what I'm saying, while I was doing lap dances and nobody killed me, I have a reason to give God some praise.
I mean, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, my question is, and we've talked about this, you know, on here, on It's Due Time before, about allowing God to recreate you. And I've been saying for the past couple of episodes, you know, you could now become a mentor or teach some classes or whatever have you. What keeps us, Pastor Charlotte, digging up dirt opposed to allowing God to reinvent us? What is that?
You said, what can we do besides digging up dirt?
No, I'm saying, why is this, instead of going to dig up the dirt, why can't we just simply let God reinvent us? You know, in other words, you've done all your performing and da-da-da, and as the host, the guy said, you know, your people still buying CDs. You know, they ain't streaming. So that's one of the things that then aged you out of this whole thing here. Why are we so busy, you know, pressing to dig up dirt opposed to allowing God to do something new in our life? What's going on?
Well, one, because she's fearful of the of them calling Rebel's name, and then she's been dismissed. Who is what's her stage name? I mean, her
Danita.
What's Yolanda's name?
Danita.
They won't be calling her, right, they won't be calling her no more. Like, she was devastated. A good part was when it showed the piece where that, when she went into him and he said, nobody wants to hear you. That's pretty much what he told her. Nobody wants to hear you. Because you're not coming up to the times, you're still back here in the 60s, so nobody wants to hear from you. So she's devastated from that. So she's going to fight and scratch her way all the way because my name must be out there. This song must get out there so people can remember me. And that's why she's singing with S's. Is that her name? Am I saying that? Because you know I mess people's names.
S's, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. She's not going to try to help nobody. She's going to climb. She's that crab that's going to knock everybody else down because she's going to be the one that's going to get up out of there to the top. And that's how church folks are. Same way. You sing better than me? Oh, no. No, that's my song. We are not going to let her sing, you know, because now you're going to out, you know, she's going to feel that you're outstaging me. And that's what church people do.
Pastor KL, you know, we're at the point where, you know, instead of mentoring or doing something else, letting God reinvent you, that, you know, we'd rather go dig up dirt and make somebody else's life miserable, which subsequently, you know, you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because you're going to have to, you know, jump in one of them. You know, what are we doing? Why is that a go-to? Opposed to just letting
you
God do something else?
Because, listen, we, and I say we, even with myself, you know, we became dinosaurs, you know, meaning that, you know, as well as I think I can think, you know, in my younger days, these kids now, they're singing circles around me. You know what I mean? When Diana Ross came out, now people are singing circles around Diana Ross. But at one point, Diana Ross was the stuff. But at some point, you got to see that you're extinct. You're a dinosaur. And just go into the museum and let people, you know what I mean, look at you from afar and say you was who you was and come out on top. So many times we want to stay in this battle until we get knocked out. So we want to keep fighting folks and knocking folks out. We want to fight against folks who we know fight better than us. Why do that? Leave on top. But people don't have that mentality anymore. You know, they don't respect the new artists. They don't respect the Joshuas that's coming up. You know, Moses, you're dead. It's time for Joshua to take over. And you have to be able to respect the Joshua. And as for you, you should be teaching Joshua how to move on, how to be successful as I was. You know, I tell people all the time, listen, you know, I'll give you all the vocal lessons you want. I know you sing circles around me, but I know that there's things that you can do to make you better. It doesn't take away from who I am. And until people realize it doesn't take away from you, you know what I mean? In fact, it enhances you. It enhances your character by showing.
We lost you. Did we lose Pastor KL? Okay. He doesn't realize. I hope he's not talking. I hope he's not doing it. Because we have not heard any of the gems that he's dropping over there. He seems to have been climbing, reinventing himself, Pastor Charlotte. He was reinventing himself. But, you know, he was given a closing word, you know, as a suggestion. Why don't you give your closing word today regarding, you know, some of the stuff that you Are you back, Pastor Gale?
Unmuted.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so give your closing
Hello?
Word.
Can you hear
closing
me?
Closing word. Yes, we can hear you. Continue to give your closing word.
Hello.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Please give your closing word.
Oh, okay. Well, this is what I would say. I would say that, you know, it's up to us, you know, men and women of God, men and women of faith, to mentor and to teach these folks. You know, Jesus went back for the one. You know, so that's our job. Our job is to be able to speak into someone's life and get them to the next level, get them over to where we are. You know, it's no need to be jealous. You know, there's room at the cross for all of us. You know, there's room for all of us. Each one teach one. It's important that we grab them up even while they're young. You know, the Bible says train the child. You know, for when they're older, they won't depart. You know, you got to plant the seed in folks and then stand back and watch them grow. Watch them grow. We can't keep on killing the trees. We can't keep on killing the earth. We have to watch these things grow, but we have to keep planted in good ground.
All righty. Thank you. All righty. Pastor Charlene, what's your closing word for today?
Yes, I agree. Let's put down our pride, and let's put down that we are better than others. Be able to, exactly like Pastor KL said, be that mentor. Be able to help that person, you know, enhance what God has called them to do, being able to show them that they can do it. And don't be a hater. You know what I mean? Let's just be able to help one another, be able to pray with one another, and know that God gave them that particular gift, you know, and being able to just nurture them. Just nurture them. Be that mom or that dad, and just be that one, even if you just get one, like he said, that will listen, that will be able to grow in God, to grow in God, with God, and that is our job, for us to be able to help, you know, just being able to direct, you know, don't be like the people on the show, you know, be able to do better. See what part you're lacking and where that you're able to help someone along the way. And never be threatened, because what God has for you is for you. And what God has for them is for them. So therefore, just being able, sometimes we have to sit back. You don't have to sit in the back of the church, but you can sit and be able to know that you have planted that seed, or you might have watered it, and know that God will do the increase. Just being able to celebrate each other in Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you.
You all do the same. Bless you.
You know, thank you so much to the both of you for your contribution into today's conversation. Couldn't do church folk without you. Let's get this benediction. All right. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3:15. You know, I was looking at the episode, and first thing came to my mind, I was like, you know, this is such a hard watch for on many different levels. You know, and we've all, you know, have silently in the back of the scene said, you know, it's not something that we enjoy looking at, because we just wouldn't be looking at it. But one of the things that, you know, as we come back each week and we talk about this stuff, and even today, it just really helps me understand, you know, why it is so important that we do talk about this thing, because people need to see themselves. You know, for 2 years we've had the church folk segment, and we've talked about almost every one of these issues that we've talked about for the past 6 weeks that we've, you know, been on here talking about each of these episodes. Now we're getting an up close, personal, behind the scenes view that we would not have gotten had it not been for this particular show. You know, when we sat last night and we were looking at it, and I saw Danita, you know, she was like, I need you to do something for me, and I didn't know what she was going to say. And when she came out with, I need you to go dig up this dirt on this rug, I was like, are you serious? You really dig, you stuck like that, you know, you are out to get something from, you know, this story of this girl's life where she's all of 21, 22 years old. She's off the pole. Everybody knows she's off the pole. Everybody has weighed in as to whether she was going to be off the pole for 2 minutes. You know, how many bets are going on that, you know, she's going to last 5 minutes in the world before she, you know, in this gospel industry, before she ends up back on the pole. You know, I'm like, why are we so desperate? And why is this again? Why is this out there? Boy, they are smashing us by every means. But as we talk about it, it's really important that we see ourselves. You know, are you that church or that Christian individual, I want to say, that you're calling yourself this Christian individual, and you are really at this extreme for anything, for anything. You know, are we really, are we really this twisted that we can't seem to do anything different? You know, I also thought about the dynamic. Look at what they're doing with both the characters. You have the husband and the wife team. You have the husband who's now seeing himself, you know, and looking at all the things that he's doing. And he's so remorseful that he laid out on the floor. And he, you know, he's trying to make things different. You know, he's not just praying about it, he's now doing it. You know, he's taking the wife out, and he's trying to, you know, he ended the relationship with the mistress, and you know, whatever he's doing now, the only thing he hasn't done is been forthcoming, you know, when the parents are talking and saying, you know, hey, I was sleeping with your daughter, and this is why I can't take your money, and blah 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 blah. But for the, you know, for the other part, we see that he's, you know, trying to do right. But on the flip side, you've got the wife who's going deeper and deeper and making her issues worse and worse and worse. And, you know, you see that she has no remorse because, again, you didn't set the place on fire, but yet you're still trying to destroy a life. How many lives, you know, were interrupted when the fire took place? You know, I'm not going to say whether it was good or bad or not. That doesn't matter. How many lives were interrupted? So although you claim you only set fire to the dumpster, it ended up ultimately doing what you wanted it to do, interrupt lives because these people had something on your son. Are we going to get to the point where we are going to look at our life and be able to say what Pastor KL has coined here, in my former life? Are we going to allow God to begin to change our life where we can now begin to say, this was in my former life? I can guarantee you that since we've been on here and we've been used, because everybody uses the phrase now, in my former life, how many lives have been changed? How many lives are changing? Because people have gotten just things have shifted. And when you hear somebody else talk about their former life, now it kind of forces you to think a little differently. Now it forces you to look at things a little differently. How many people, I would venture to say that even if one person heard this phrase and it helped to start a walk into a former life, that people are saying, somebody has said, hey, you know what, I need a former life. I need a time where I need to be able to say, I don't do that anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to love, I don't love them anymore. You know, and it's because of what we've talked about on this due time with Pastor Steph, which only makes for the importance of us looking at this thing here, looking at this show, looking and talking about it and helping people to see what it is that we are not doing correctly. So let's get it together. Let's get that former life into play. Be remorseful and go back to God and repent. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, who always comes through big time. And I want to thank you for adding in your two cents today. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your comments. Couldn't do it without you. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now or deepen your relationship with God, and more importantly, become remorseful and repent and get that former life underway. Until tomorrow, where it's Wild Wednesday, God spare our life. I love
you.